This is URN.
The Pulse Breakdown.
Hello and welcome to this week's Pulse. I'm your presenter. I'm joined by a lovely panel of Matt, Ollie, Gabby and Dawson. How are we today, guys?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Good,
excellent. So our first story of the week is Gabby. She's going to be telling us about a mental health story.
Yes, so the headline for this is Mental Health Bed Search a Scandal. The practice of sending mentally ill adults in England long distances for care is unacceptable and must end, says experts. Some 500 patients travel more than 50 kilometres to access care each month as beds and services in their area are unavailable. If someone was having a heart attack, they would be given immediate care and priority no matter where in the country they are. But this is not the case for mental health patients, even though a sudden turn for someone suffering with serious mental health issues such as, schizophrenia or bipolar can be just as life-threatening. A report backed by the Royal College of Psychiatrists recommends changes to how services are commissioned. From October 2017, no acutely ill patient should have to travel long distances to receive care. Also, a maximum of a four-hour wait for acute psychiatric care after initial assessment should be introduced. The provision of more beds is seen as a short-term solution only, according to the president of the RCP, and he says that the entire system needs to be assessed. So, my question to you guys is, do you think that mental health is treated less seriously than physical health?
I think it's definitely improved in recent years. I remember a couple of years ago we were doing a pulse when mental health really started to get funded properly. And it was only 3 or 4 years ago, actually, when mental health received, you know, not much funding at all. And it's increased massively over the last 3 or 4 years or so. So I think actually any changes, this kind of thing, is always going to be a good thing. So, I'm kind of behind this. These changes.
I think partially the NHS and people in general are perhaps guilty of thinking physical injury, there's more of an immediate threat, if you like. Obviously, you mentioned a heart attack. That's quite something that has to be dealt with very quickly. But if someone who's suffering from mental health is having an anxiety attack or so, that is causing distress to them and others, there is a similar level of immediacy. But because people can't really see it physically on the outside, they maybe think it's less serious.
Yeah, no, I agree, that's the issue. I think but with these patients are literally being told there's no room for you, go to the other side of the country and try there. I mean, it's just not sustainable for any person suffering with a serious mental health issue to have to relocate themselves to just find a bed in the hospital.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it also sort of trivializes what they're going through. It makes it seem as if it's not important enough for it to be dealt with here, so you can go elsewhere. And I think that's somewhere where we really need to make, a few improvements with regards to how mental health is perceived comparatively to, regular health issues.
And being told also when you're suffering with a mental health issue that your issue's not, important enough is, could be argued to make their case even worse.
I mean, that's completely the opposite of what you want to do with somebody who's currently going through a mental health problem, isn't it, really? I mean, these are the people who need as much kind of emotional and kind of support as possible. And to be told kind of, we're sidelining you for someone else really isn't, the best idea.
One of the big issues with mental health, obviously, as you said, Ollie, is people don't think they're perhaps as important as other people. And to be telling them that they need to go long distances to find care elsewhere, you need to be nurturing these people, if you like. And because someone with a physical injury, if you have a deep cut, that's very serious, but you're not gonna be have detriment, if you like, to being told you have to go to the next hospital because your issue is less important. But with someone with mental health, to feel unwanted or kind of like they're not as important as people with physical injuries is going to be really damaging to them.
No, I agree.
I guess one of the reasons why, we find ourselves in this situation in the first place is because there isn't really a medical condition where you can travel. If you've got a heart attack, you can't go to the other end of the country. If you've got a broken leg, they can't expect you to go for treatment somewhere else. So I guess it must have been mental health must have been seen as the least worst option, almost, in terms of the option where there was a small possibility that people could travel, even though, of course, it is entirely unexpected.
I think if the idea that mental health sufferers are the ones that are most able to travel is possibly not the worst idea in the world. I think it's the way in which it's dealt with. I think if you are making people travel, you should know exactly where to go. Like, if it's the other side of the country, you can say, you can go there and there will definitely be a bed for you and we're going to help you get there. And, you know, there's going to be paramedics with you. There's going to be people that are trained to help you who go with you. I think maybe the system of moving people around is the thing that's most flawed in this. I don't necessarily think the concept of it is the worst, if that doesn't make me sound like a terrible person.
I don't know. I feel like I can kind of see where you're coming from, but you'd want there to be kind of family members with them, and you'd want there to be friends in the same location. The act of moving itself isn't the problem in many ways. It's the new environment, and it's the friends, and it's the family members, which, you know, people with mental health really do rely on.
Yeah, they're fragile anyway, so any knock to them may be, you know, in their minds 10 times worse than what it appears to our minds, and something logical to us probably doesn't seem logical to them.
A lot of the difficulties with this, as always with the NHS, comes down to funding at the end of the day. Time is money to the NHS, and they need the beds, and they can't be spending time helping these people find a way to move or getting their families in and moving them across the country. It's difficult because the government cannot physically provide enough funding for the NHS for them to put that much effort and kind of care into one person if they don't have the time or space at that hospital, because the NHS already costs the government about £100 billion a year or something ridiculous like that. So there's just no way around it, unfortunately.
And not only that, but it's incredibly understaffed, incredibly underfunded already. I mean, we know with increasing government cuts, we saw it last month with the junior doctor strike, and it's a continuing issue. But I don't think it's an issue which can really be solved to NHS funding, because realistically, there will always be cases for more funding. And as soon as one sector gets more funding, as soon as, you know, emergency care gets more funding, the other sector is screaming out saying, look, we need help as well. And it's a very difficult situation which any government really find themselves in.
I agree. And just to kind of round it off, I know this has been investigated a lot in the University of Nottingham, but do you think that there is enough awareness of how serious mental health issues can be, like, at uni?
I think the fact that this debate's happening is definitely a good thing. The funding for mental health is being considered as a main priority now, which is great. I think the issue lies in more just people, how people deal with it. It's definitely an issue where everyone would tread lightly, and I think that's not the best way to deal with it. If you have friends or family members that do have mental health issues, it's definitely not something that's to not be discussed, which I think is more the culture when you know someone with a mental illness.
I think a lot of people think of people with mental health issues as they need to be wrapped up in bubble wrap and really kind of protected from their issues or whatever. But as you say, Matt, it is something that perhaps is often best approached head on. Like, they know what's wrong, and they need to know that we know what's wrong and that we are here for them and to help them as well.
I think also it's a very British thing, isn't it? The whole kind of stiff upper lip culture we've got going on, where people, there's this massive stigma still around mental health, even despite multiple campaigns and multiple, funding efforts and all this kind of thing. There's still a huge stigma around having a mental health issue, which is why a lot of people hide it and obviously won't make things any easier for themselves if they do.
Yeah, I think we need to really sort of make it easier for people to just come out and say, okay, I have a mental health issue, but that's okay, you know, I am dealing with it. And I think that's something you can far more easily say with regards to, like, you know, other issues. And it's something that in future I think campaigns should focus on, as well as, you know, the whole, like, treatment aspect and improving the sort of support that we have available.
Also, after we discussed mental health just there is the Nottingham Nightline number, as always, 0115 951 4985, for anyone who you know or if you yourself are suffering with anything mental health related.
This is URN.
The Pulse Breakdown.